Shidduchim Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Nobody Talks Shidduchim Podcast. It's me, IJ Isaac J. El Hosto of the Shidduch Podcast Extraordinaire. And I'm here joined with my partner and co-producer
co-host. No partner, no co-life, any of this. Please, I'm not a homophobe, but I don't need...
What's wrong with that, Avery?
Our one female listener out there. There is one we know.
That's it.
I mean, everyone
else. Well, we have a female on this show for this episode. This is episode 75, Workplace Shidduch Stories. A lot of fun stuff. Everyone's been there. You've all been in this predicament and everything. Let me just get an introduction in for our guests here. We have Joe. Jojo, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jojo, you've been in the you're in the shidduch system. You're a dater.
Definitely a dater. Yeah. Shidduch system. Not so much. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just told them you're like the head shidduch honcho, and we also have We also have Rachel Osalutsky. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Salute.
Okay. Salute.
It's all good.
I clearly prepared.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Also, if anybody wants some more dating stories, less shit off talking, more like dating stories, they can tune into my new podcast.
Oh, your audio got cut off. Yeah, one second.
That's a good podcast name.
Instagram.
All right.
Thank you.
Rachel, welcome to the show. Tell us about yourself again. Oh, it got cut. See, her thing's bad. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these technical issues.
Sorry. A little bit about myself. So I have my podcast, Sticky Situations. That's not my day job, though. So I'm very qualified to talk about workplace shit-off stories.
Yeah.
I work as an accountant in New York City. I'm not from New York City, though. So anyone wants a nice out-of-town girl over here?
Avery, where out of town are you from? You don't have to get so too specific. You could say like the Midwest, America, the world.
I'm from the Midwest.
Oh, wow. Oh, another Midwesterner. This is crazy. We just had a Midwesterner on. Now you're here.
Midwest is that.
We found Avery in the Midwest. Like, this is unbelievable. Okay.
Those are the good old days.
Some of us found ourselves in the Midwest.
Yes, yes
I lived under a cactus for 5 years.
All right, we're going to start the episode. So this episode is about Shidduch, American Jewish dating, and its effects in the workplace, right? So have you ever been assigned to a new project at work, and in comes your new professional business partner for the project, and you're like, oh my gosh, that gal looks so, oh my God, I want to go out with her. You're surprised because they're actually cute and they're Jewish, and you know that they are in Shidduchim because you saw the resume, your friend dated them, whatever. So you're literally like, oh wow, this is big stuff. So
you said, oh wow, this is big stuff to them, or you just said it to yourself?
Well, you're telling it to yourself.
Okay,
you're
got it. To yourself. Okay, good.
So you recognize they're in Shidduchim. So you ask the coworker, you ask your boss, you ask the client. There's so many scenarios here of practically what like potentially could happen. And for this episode, we're sitting down here with Rachel and Joe. And we're going to discuss the benefits, the cons, the ramifications, the problems, the ethics. Hello, are there ethics here? This gentleman will tell us he's an ethical professional and of what you're supposed to do. Avery, first thoughts.
I feel like we're really bordering on the uncomfortable / ethically and morally wrong, because many people... Many CEOs over the last number of years have been Me Too'd because of the workplace culture relationships that have cultivated during this era, because many people have used their sway and influence within large corporate organizations. For example, the Weinstein Organization. Now this is I'm just discussing.
He goes to the most radical.
Now
Mussolini and Naftali Bennett. No, we don't.
I think it's important to draw out the worst of people first,
like BB,
and then we get to the borderlines in the middle, where like maybe that is something that is normal, because many people do find spouses, partners, dates in their workplace.
Yeah.
But we have to clearly define what is right and what is wrong before we can get to that gray area where maybe it is okay for this to become a budding something, right? I personally have not worked in a place that I felt like there is somebody here that is suitable for dating. I've only worked with non-Jews, right? So they weren't suitable for dating, maybe for other things.
Well, you also have, but not dating. You also had that organization also. So you did work with,
I guess, some girls with some females.
I mean, basically shidduch potentials for our LGBT community out there. We have plenty. So whatever's floating your boat.
Yeah. But even still, I've never had a situation arise where I felt like this is a person within the structure of my dating sphere, and that has never come up. Those feelings have not come up with anyone I've worked with.
Right. So you're a good outside perspective.
Right. Has it happened for either of you, Rachel or JoJo?
I want to hear Rachel. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your experience with workplace shidduch stories.
So I'll preface this. I'm an accountant. So I worked in a public accounting firm for a few years. And nobody who I saw their resume or anything, I'm on J's wife. Like, I don't know if that counts.
Of course that counts. This is shidduch. Shidduch years, the second you get off the boat from Israel, you take off the life vest until you get married. Mm-hmm. Whether that's 25, 35, I think probably, I'd say 40 is probably like the cutoff here. 42, 43, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. As you were saying.
Yeah. So at my firm, there was a policy. Like, we were allowed to date each other. Like, there were a lot of couples in my firm, non-Jewish, who had gotten married. And I had two different situations. Nothing actually happened, but there was a Jewish guy around my age, religious level, and two different times. And where someone was like, oh, why don't you guys date? Like, why don't you guys get together? So the first one, my friend really tried to make happen, and it just didn't happen. We had a brief flirtation. He's a great guy. We ended up being friends and coworkers, and yeah. So we're friends. And then there was another guy. We were at our holiday party, and it's always like you see a guy with a yarmulke. So I started with one of my good friends from school, who's also Jewish. And we saw a guy with a yarmulke. It was like our second year. We're like, oh, there's a new Jew at our firm, and he's young, and I don't see a wedding ring. So we're like, okay, let's go talk to him. And then she ended up leaving the firm, or she had a boyfriend. I can't remember why she was no longer in this with me. But my non-Jewish coworker and then my non-religious coworker tried their hardest to like get us in situations where we were like talking with each other. I got so many stalker pictures anytime I did talk to him, like my coworkers taking of us. And like, it wasn't a match. He's also a nice guy. And it's really funny because like we worked in very different departments. So we only really saw each other at social events. But then I moved neighborhoods and he lives in my neighborhood in the city. And I see him around, and actually now we're pretty good friends. He actually just recorded with me on my podcast.
Woo-hoo.
And I told him I was going to tell the story. Woo-hoo. So, yeah, and he has a girlfriend. I love his girlfriend. She's great. And
support over here. We understand. So, we get it.
Mm. Yeah, it didn't work out, but it's just funny. So had coworkers like try to push it.
It could be an extremely tendacious subject because you're in a professional setting. And the Jewish culture pushes people to get married.
Right.
But at the same time, you're working professionally here. There's something called sexual harassment, human resources. So yeah, it's very tricky to stay on that conscious sentinel like line, that borderline of I'm not overdoing it, I'm not underdoing it. Obviously, Most of the time, people just have to take a step back and you can't jump into it. This is a perfect situation of what you're expressing to us. This is a perfect example where you're working with so I work with a lot of non-Jewish people. So I say, well, you're working with normal people. See, I just changed it to normal people. Like, you're working with normal people. We're Jewish. But then they see you and they're like, oh, Rachel, we know you're from and or you're Jewish. And oh, he's an Orthodox Jewish boy. Get together, firm wedding. It's all set.
And you see that in the regular workplace.
Wouldn't we love that? Wouldn't we love for that to happen? Jojo, tell me more.
I definitely see that in my workplace. I work as a clinical director. And there are two other Jewish girls on my team. I wouldn't classify them as from, but
that's fine.
We definitely have that bond together where we belong to the tribe. And there are people that try to set us up. And it's very hard being in a supervisory position. I'll speak to that. Overseeing two other girls who are Jewish in the workplace and trying to, steady fast that boundary of where can you see them outside of work. It becomes very tricky, I'll tell you that.
So how should one go about it? I remember hearing on a date, a female I dated told me about a situation where she was coming into work and her boss was a from person and she was pretty from at the time. I don't know what she's like now. I don't think she believes in God now, which is okay.
Says something a lot about the people you meet. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Well, I've turned her off from God. She realized after
that's
me,
our number one.
God can't Avery be. Joke they gave the me day. This guy. But so she happens? Said her boss kept sending her resumes.
Like, oh resumes. My God.
And she worked at some real estate firm with some very religious
See, that's
guy, Heimish
be the fine
guy.
Line where
and,
like,
and I'm like, that's that. I don't know if that's an appropriate workplace.
That is definitely
like,
For a guy, so I wouldn't want that.
Imagine coming to work with you have your emails from your boss. Get me this. Get me my Dunkin' Donuts. And now get yourself a guy. Like, come on, that's too much. Overkill. Right.
That could be like that could be a tumultuous situation. Like that, it's just offensive. What Brett?
Well, it crosses
it
the boundary.
It definitely crosses the boundary.
For sure.
I think.
For sure. Jojo, ever happened to you on the job?
Not on the job.
I know you told me there are these two girls you work with that. But has anyone
I've been pressured
you?
Outside of work on side jobs that I work at. Just, are you dating? I've worked with families in the local community that are from and constantly push me all the time. So when you've been working with us for 5-6 years now and nothing's come up, are you serious? Are you dating?
Intrusive.
Is there someone special?
Intrusive.
That's the word.
That's the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Word of the day. Intrusive. Absolutely. Rachel, does he have a point?
So that pressure is not really needed at times.
Right.
But
right, it's bad enough. Our mothers are killing us at home with whips. Like, don't care.
I don't know.
Whipping, lashes.
And at worst, in the Ashkenazi community, only one serving of chalent.
Oh, please.
You see what I have to live through. Now, Rachel, you had something to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't mind the intrusive if it's, like, helpful. Like, I don't love the questions like, oh, when are you getting, like, okay, so at my new job, my coworker just got engaged over the weekend, my non-Jewish coworker. So we had our department meeting, and the CFO was like, oh, yeah, so Rachel, you're just the only one. And I'm like, yeah, way to rub it in.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Because he's married.
Yeah. Awkward.
My direct, he meant it as, like, a joke, and I'm like, yeah, but, like, thanks for rubbing it in. Of my 4-person department. But I've had other situations where, like, they're trying to help. Like, all my non-Jewish coworkers love trying to help me. Like, not in my current job, but in my old job. Like, a lot of our clients, or one of the industries that our clients were in, not really my clients, but my, like, work bestie's clients, who she's not Jewish, were in the apparel industry. And a lot of Jews run the apparel industry.
Mm.
And she would see their financial information. She's like, Rachel, these are rich Jews. We're going to find you a husband here. And like one day she's like out at the client and I'm getting like messages from her and from the manager being like, Rachel, we're scoping out guys here. Like we're going to try to set you up with one of the sons, one of the grandsons, one of the cousins, something like you need
that,
in the family.
That hits a nerve. See, that hits.
That's brilliant.
That hits a nerve with me. Because
I think it's funny.
You're
me too.
Where we are raised in this, in the frum society, and I love the frum people, I love the frum system, everybody knows that. I I'm enamored by them in so many ways. You bump into so many scenarios where you'll have like these young Israel Agudath mommies hocking up a chinik. My son got into this firm. My daughter got into that firm. Okay, great. And now there's a certain professional rapport that you have to go into these workspaces as a professional, as someone who's just trying to make a living. And when you go to shul and you go to a simcha or you're just at the Shabbos table or wherever, and they're saying, no, is there anybody? You didn't meet anybody at work? You didn't meet anybody at work? You got to stop doing that, people, because the person's job's on the line. That's not how it works out there. Maybe in little fake or little babka chulent world over there. But
it's definitely easier,
there's a border you got to put up that you can't act out on that. You have to really be very calm and content. You can't just, you got to be complacent in some way. You can't just like chase after something. I mean, so many, I used to work in public accounting and not in accounting, but in one of the ancillary services. HR is real. HR. And that's what I did before. And there's so many of these Jews who want to get together. And then there are others who don't. Like, no, I don't. This is my job. I get paid, da-da-da. So it could be polarizing in a way. And there's just this bifurcating between these two different stances, what to do. Do you jump in or do you not jump in? Where is the truth? Yeah, Jojo?
I think it's just easier if you're in a larger pool. If you're in a larger pool of people at work who are trying to help you out, like in Rachel's scenario, you have other people helping you out. It spreads you out a little bit more. It makes your name more prominent. It brings you up to different circles. But
none of mine were successful, by the way. Just putting it out there. There were many attempts.
Because of work. Let me ask you, was it because of work or was it just because it ran its course?
I mean, the two scenarios where I worked with the guys, it just like wasn't the right fit. The ones where like my coworker was trying to like find me a husband at her client, like she was never actually going to talk to them. She's just like, oh, we leave early on Fridays and they're closed on Saturday and they're religious. So like, and they're rich. We're going to try to stay up. She actually did. Yeah. I did get very close though. She really did try to make a shit off for me, like a real one. I'll tell the story, I guess, real quick. One day she told me, so she grew up in Long Island. She is not Jewish, but she grew up in Long Island in a community where there are a lot of Jews, not a lot of religious Jews. And I guess one of her friends from high school went on Birthright, decided she loved Judaism, became religious, married a guy in Brooklyn, has four kids and lives there and is from. So one day randomly, my friend is like, oh, you know what? I should ask my friend in Brooklyn if she has any guys for you. And I'm like, okay. So she texts her. And so that night she texts me. She's like, can you send me your dating resume? Do you have a dating resume? What is a dating resume?
You're hearing this from
a foreign concept to some.
Yeah. So I sent it to her. I'm like, yes, I do have one. And I sent it. She was fascinated by it. And like the whole concept. And I had to explain, her all of my dating life adventures.
The explanation is imperative. You really have to sit them down and explain everything, which people forget to do. You go in and you're like, everyone knows, but you got to explain it to them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not really. It is related. When she found out the concept of Shomer Nagia, anytime I told her my friend was getting married, she's like, did they touch before they were married? She was she was fascinated by it.
So she
sends my shit off resume to her friend. Her friend's like, oh, actually I do have these two guys. They're friends with my husband. And one of them started dating someone, so he wasn't available. But the other one, she's like, okay, I'm gonna set this up. And so I'm like, okay, you can give them my phone number to reach out, like, whatever. And she's like, okay. She texted me. She's like, he's going to reach out. He never ended up reaching out, but it would have been a funny story that my non-Jewish coworker made a shit off. But yeah.
Quite apropos for the episode, if that would have actually happened. Let's move in. I want to get back to the asking out part and all that, kind of the premise or the preference before. But let's actually talk about, like, can it be a real relationship? Out there, we're talking about workplace shit-off stories, people meeting at work or getting set up at work, setting people up at work. Also, just being single in the workforce. That's huge.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm looking at you because I'll tell you why. Because you're very people just want to look at you.
I'm openly single.
Yes,
people know.
You're openly single.
It's like being gay nowadays.
People like
no one cares about
you. You have new people start at your firm and they come in and then they're like, "Hey, welcome. Hey, I'm Johnny. I'm from Philly. I'm working here at Avery, you're Jewish and you're single. I know it." People know this stuff. People
they
know
smell
it.
They smell it. Like blood.
I know, okay, by the
blood
way.
Smells.
It's so true.
Smells blood and water.
That's like a very big thing before I get to like the topic I want to say. But like that is a huge thing when you're working in a Heimish company, because I worked for corporate for many years. I transitioned into Heimish. I transitioned to Heimish company. Oh. I made the jump. I made the move. And I'm telling you, you come in and they're like, I'm like, "Hey, I'm Isaac. Great to meet you. I have a," and they grab my hand and go, "Where are you diving? Who's your wife? Where are your kids go?" I'm like, whoa.
Intrusive.
That's personal. I said, in China, you can't do that. In China, you hand someone a business card and you bow. You say, "Kansamida," and you bow. That's actually Korean. Jojo, let me ask you. Are these, when you actually do meet, let's say, people meet in the workplace or you meet in whoever, is it a real relationship? Tell me, is it a real relationship?
I mean, I think you can justify any relationship as a real relationship. I think it becomes more challenging when you're in a position of power and you definitely are overseeing a team, such as myself, as a clinical director overseeing five subordinates under me and having whatever, an inkling that they're Jewish, you like them. Now you have to consider, okay, should I ruin a reputation of being their superior and trying to ask them out, butchering whatever workplace relationship in the professional scheme that you have, or should I just jump into the water feet first, see what happens? But then you always have, I mean, I'll speak for myself on this one. I always think of, what if the relationship doesn't work out? You ask somebody out in the workplace, it doesn't work out. Now you have to work with this person for whatever project you're on. If you're overseeing them as a supervisor, what do you do next? That's just awkward.
Where do you go from there?
How do you bring that up to another team member and say, "Hey, I can't oversee Leia Bela because she's she didn't want to go out with me."
Must have been tough for Bill and Monica to see each other in the hallways after that relationship. It's true.
"Hey, I want to tell you, you stop. The 43rd president of the United States has done so much. I did not look at her shit-up resume." All right, let's get back. Okay, Avery.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I apologize.
Always with the radical. But no, it's great. It's true. It's true. Look at the, I don't know, what's a good example?
In
that the rabbi in the news the other day.
Well, rabbinical examples come up. There were shuls many years ago in Lawrence. I'm not going to say who the rabbi is.
He's like Lawrence.
There was a shul.
There was a shul in America, let's say.
Okay,
let's
in
say.
America, there was a shul in this
we
country.
We have a lot of British people where you know, listening to, driving into this.
The rabbi was giving college classes and was well known for giving college classes.
Yes, yeah. Those were great college classes.
Yes,
I heard.
You attended as well, but through the peephole. That's what I heard. You're like having there with a peephole and a microscope, but and binoculars. But the rabbi was giving classes and he would forcibly touch young women who would attend these classes. And a lot of them were frightened.
Not cool,
never,
bro. Not
no,
cool.
Obviously we don't condone that whatsoever at all. But obviously he was doing this, and young women, young from women especially, who have not been exposed to anything like this and have never, most likely, I mean, I can't speak to your experience, Rachel, at all, but speaking to and having dated people in the probably more right-wing Heimish community, have never been told that if you hear something, if you see something,
say something.
Say something. If somebody, right. you know, is encroaching your space, you should...
Abusing their power,
right? For favors, you should say something. And these girls didn't, for a while, he got away with this for a few years. Finally, somebody spoke up and the shul did some sort of investigation and they fired him, thankfully, and took him away from that position of power. But it's very difficult for
it's relatable people to speak a up. Yeah,
it's relatable to a workplace.
I mean, in many sense, it's you go to shul and I hear
it's
that.
It's a fear, and people need to speak
First
up.
First of all, it's very wrong. We don't condone that. We totally condemn this guy.
People need to speak up in situations like that.
It's very tough. That's a whole other thing. It's really tough.
Yeah.
Reach out to your professionals and all that. That's certainly a paradigm of an example of how it could come off in the office, in the professional office. When you're someone, I'll give you an example. When I was working in HR and I was in staffing in a certain industry, and we had our little Jewish clique back in the big corp place. People can find me on LinkedIn. That's where they'll find it. And we had a girl, let's give her a name. Let's call her
Rose McGowan.
Sally. I like Sally. So Sally, great girl, very cute personality. She's making money for the company. And one of my friends is like, oh, I want to, like our little Jewish clique, our little Heimish Yiddish clique here is like, I'm going to go ask around. And I'm like, bro, for sure, bro, shidduchim. You gotta get married. This is your wife. This is her. You're gonna marry her. She's gonna support you. She's gonna support. He found himself in HR the next day and was suspended and then died. No, kidding. No, he did. He actually got, so she got really pissed off and she reported him to HR. And they luckily they really handled it well. They were like, we understand it's happened before. We've hired from Jews before, Orthodox Jews. And that's honestly for me, when this guy told me, I was just like, wow, like we're not in the shtetl anymore. Like that, it's very tricky to do that. It's very tricky to do that.
It's easier dating interdepartmentally.
Oh, I yeah. well, they weren't in the same department. Well, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think that's where it's useful to have someone else, like a go-between. Like if you're interested in someone at work, then it's easy enough to ask your other friend at work to go and like gauge their interest. And if they're not interested, don't ask her out.
Yeah, right. How would you gauge that? Tell me, how would you gauge that?
Have someone ask her.
Okay, so you...
Yeah,
so-
like that's where it's like not awkward. It's like, okay, like in my scenarios, like one of my friends was trying to set it up, even though I don't think she directly told the guy like, oh, you should date Rachel. But like, if I really was super interested, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so great. I would have been like, yo, talk to him. See if he's interested. And like, I'm not going to ask him out. I mean, I don't ask guys out in general, but like in the workplace, definitely I'm not asking someone out. But if it was a suggestion coming from a third party, I don't see that as being awkward.
Interesting.
And nobody risks HR.
You say you don't ask people out in general. If there was a situation that arose where you met somebody in your workplace environment who you liked, would you ask them out? Is that something that you'd be comfortable doing? No, not even.
What if Avery became your new project coordinator?
Straight to HR, obviously.
If I was interested in, this is also just in life in general, let's say like I go to a Shabbat meal here in the city and I meet a guy that I like, I'm not going to ask him out. I'll ask a friend who hosts the meal or a different friend who knows him. Be like, hey, can you like try to set it up?
Really?
So the same thing at work. Like I'm friends with my coworkers. It's easy enough, especially if there's like a Jew crew. Like in my old job, we had a little Jew crew.
Yeah,
you just ask definitely one of the other members of the Jew crew.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's easy.
And then
when you
like
have a click.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That's the name of my crew, Jew crew. You can't have that name.
So I call it the Jew crew. What did other guys call it? The kosher corner, because at any firm event, we had like a little table with the kosher, but corner was with a K, like kosher corner, but corner with a K. Because there was like one kosher table in the corner.
Yeah,
I love that.
And they play like klezmer music, and everyone dances in circles during breaks.
in the tiny little table in the corner.
Basically, all right.
That is freaking corner. Funny. Oh my god!
Interesting. I don't know if that's a typical modern day approach, which is fine. I don't. I'm just saying. I think
right.
modern day is where women are empowered to ask. Like the modern day thinking, at least the line of thought is, women are now empowered to go speak to men and ask them out and feel free to use your allure and luster to attract us and all that. But
this is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
No, I hear it. I hear it. And some of my friends do that. I just, for me, I feel like it's a guy, sometimes the guy just doesn't realize that it's a possibility or that you're interested or that you even exist. But in my experience, if the guy wants to ask you out, he will, or he'll try to make it happen. Mm. And if he's not doing it, it's because he doesn't want. And then, like, it's not worth my time getting rejected. So.
Yeah. Right.
No, you're right.
I always have to have that work buffer, either a work husband or a work wife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's a good idea. What would you do? So you're saying that,
let's say you send the work wife.
So it doesn't even have to be someone from the kosher corner or the Yiddish crew.
We actually used to call this the
Yidden. It used to be the Yidden crew, actually.
Mm. Work wife was not Jewish. Gotta envy
right.
that.
Right. What if she's right? I mean, if she's not of the faith, like it could be even more awkward on it. It could be even more of a take back. Like, whoa, you're asking me you this stuff. I mean, I don't. It's shaky.
The buffer at work, having that buffer at work is definitely easier than having a buffer in real life. Dating in the shidduch world, where you're going through a shadchan process and you have the shadchan call the shots at the end of the day, that to me, not coming from the shidduch background, is more awkward than having my work wife figure out if Sarah from HR wants to go out for drinks on a
It's always
Wednesday
the HR
night.
Girls. It's always
so. It's easier that way.
That's why I went into HR.
There's no problems when you go out with an HR person.
Mm-hmm. As we say, there's many different ways to skin a cat. People meet in college. People meet.
Well, you're spending 8 to 10 hours of your day at work. So where else are you going to meet people? Not at the coffee shop.
Exactly. And you have a shared experience to bond over, which is important. People don't have that
character assimilation. You know your characters. You know who this one is or that one is. And especially if it's probably like a stronger, more dominant, like, guy or girl, like for someone who kind of like lead more, and that would like totally be attractive. Whether it's a girl, I'm like, oh wow, you're a manager, you're a director, you're a VP, like you've got it going on. Like that's attractive to me. I remember my first like real corporate experience. I worked at this place that was like Wall Street. I mean, ever see The Wolf of Wall Street? That's where I worked, right there. That's it. And no, I'm not kidding, but like sort of almost for a guy from Bodopak, it was like that. And I remember for the first time being told, I noticed like two of my coworkers like really locking eyes together, Boris and I don't remember the girl's name. Let's call her Melissa, Boris and Melissa. And I leaned over to the left and I'm like, Casey, what's the deal? Are they seeing each other? She's like, and they're engaged. I'm like, what? How come I didn't know that?
Because it's very hush hush.
Because right, some places keep it very hush hush. And then she's like, you think that Frankie is seeing Jessica? So Frankie and Jessica were seeing each other. I'm like, what? And they had the same last name. It was so weird. They had the same last name. They were seeing each other. She was Asian, beautiful Asian girl. He was like totally maybe Italian or Irish, something like that. Awesome, coolest dude. We used to play golf. They were seeing each other. And then it's one of the CEO, like one of the presidents of the divisions. He was like seeing one of our associate directors. And all of a sudden I'm looking around. I'm like, oh my God, everyone's dating each other. And yeah, that's when I decided to get into Shidduchim. Anyway.
And
yes, Avery.
Where was that story going?
Well, workplace shidduch stories. I mean, that's yeah. Is that what it was? A shidduch? Oh, yeah, workplace shidduch stories. Okay, let's get on to the next topic here. So, let's move into here. This is actually, you know, workplace shidduch top. It's a lot of different things. It's not just you like someone, etc. I actually was. I sat down with a friend once, a mentor, work mentor. And he's like, oh, how's the Jewish company working out? I said, oh, it's good. Heimish company. I like it. I enjoy it a lot. I could perseverate on it all day. He's like, well, let me ask you, are you going to get your engagement raise? And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, I can't believe you don't know this, IJ. He's like, in Heimish from places, there's a pay grade. If you're married or if you have kids or if you're single or if you're like right out of yeshiva, you get paid differently. Discrimination. No question. But have you ever heard of such a thing, Rachel?
Yeah, actually, a good friend of mine, he used to work in a Jewish company. I hope he didn't kill me for telling the story, but
tell it.
I'm not going to say any names.
Give us the name.
He told me at his old company, which was a Jewish organization, he would request days off. And he would be denied days off because it's like, oh, no, so-and-so has to be off then because who didn't request off yet because her kids are off from school. Because he was single and had no kids, his like time off request, if it was during yeshiva week or something, would be denied. And he's like, that's actual discrimination. And like, I don't know anything about like the pay grade. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. I don't think there should be single discrimination.
There is.
I mean, even in my job, I do not work for a Jewish company. But I work at a startup now, so it's like a family-based company, and they describe themselves as being very family-oriented, and I find a lot of the times my schedule gets thrown off because I work normal hours. Like, I work normal hours from 9 to 6, and my supervisor, who has kids, is like going to pick up her kids or taking them to this and that, and she's like not around, so when 6 o'clock rolls around, and she's like getting around to doing stuff, she's asking me questions and setting up meetings at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I'm like, no, I already did my like hours of the day. I don't like, I understand that it's flexible for you, or things get pushed off. And a lot of the things in my job, I get the last leg of the relay. So like, if I don't get the baton by a certain time, I'm working late, I'm working the weekend. And some of that is like my other coworkers who have kids. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have kids and I work normal hours, but I shouldn't be punished because you have flexibility. Like, where's my flexibility? Like, I just work from 9 to 6. I don't want to stay late.
Great point. Wow.
Shown during COVID, where there was a major shift in people who wanted to start working from home, especially families and workers who decided to take remote jobs because they have families and they have kids, and they realized, wow, this flexibility to work remote where I can watch my kids' soccer games and go do errands during the day and still do something. Yeah, there's always a soccer game, soccer moms, but and go do errands during the day allowed them the flexibility to move to new positions. And it seems like many people, and somehow for whatever reason, the Frum culture has not adapted to this yet. I was just speaking to somebody at Kiddush on Shabbos. And he was like, yeah, I started working. He was telling me about how he started working at a new law firm. But this firm requires him to come in every single day, obviously except for Shabbos, and work 9 hours a day. Whereas in the past, he had a bit more flexibility. He was working remote. He was watching his kids. And now, currently, he's kind of happy with it because he is wanting to get away from his kids. He has like 2 8-month-old twins. So he's very pleased. But yeah, that really changes. I feel like people in the from world do take advantage of single people and their status and their time, because they figure and they assume sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, that we're not busy. So it just kind of sucks in some ways. And it
even though dating is a job.
About. What? Sorry?
Dating is a job.
It is a job, yeah.
9 to 5, no benefits.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. She gets it. You must have a podcast. You must.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys will maybe come on my podcast.
I'll come on. Avery, are you going to come on our podcast?
Workplace environment. I don't know.
Workplace.
Toxic workplace environment issue.
This is strictly professional.
Okay. Right. Like we're wow, that was a great layup, by the way. That was fantastic. This is why I have this guy on. This is what are your thoughts, Jojo, on this conversation? That's intense, man.
I don't believe in it. It's not right.
No good.
You shouldn't be discriminatory towards singles. Just tell your boss that you have a date tonight.
I don't want to be like,
and then
that
get
guy.
Let off at 5 o'clock, and then in a few weeks you just let them know that it didn't work.
But like,
out.
As from yet, and like, are we discriminatory? I mean, maybe we are. Like, only the Kohanim could give brachos in shul. Girls have to wear skirts.
Women are discriminated against.
Men
in general.
Wear, right. Maybe there's more to. Maybe we like. I'm discriminated. I eat at my desk like very quickly, so I could go back to work because I'm such a good worker. And then my boss will just pop up like a cuckoo bird.
A ninja.
Did you bench? And I'll go like, hey, I'm gonna bench. And then like another guy comes over and he's like, hey, you coming to mincha? And I'm like, oh, I got this big project and the client's gonna leave the firm. I don't care. You gotta come to mincha. How dare you? So like, there's all that stuff going on. Also, it's quite intrusive, I must say.
And I do think that people, maybe not in the firm workplace, but I don't know enough about the firm workplace, but I think in general in the workplace, people take advantage or they hire based off of appearances more so. So looks play huge role in.
In what way are you saying?
Who's hired?
Absolutely.
Just generally, like say an attractive female is more likely to get a job at so-and-so company because.
Like a Heimish company or in a corporate?
In a corporate company.
Unos Olam world.
In a corporate company and possibly even.
So that's probably why I never had a hard time getting a job.
There you go. Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need Mad Men back. Mad Men. Same. The 1950s. We need that. This way I'm guaranteed like a promotion, a shidduch, money, clients, fame. Mm-hmm. And
it wasn't until recently that I heard that all these raises come after you have, when you get engaged, you get a raise. When you get married, you get a raise.
It's crazy.
When you have a kid, you get so engaged. Crazy. And they're all based off of
better get my raise.
It's a status thing.
Yeah, and I think we need to promote homogeny a little bit more than we have or whatever it is. Just if we had like a heterogeneous workplace where everybody is equal in some way, I think people would feel better.
The prime divine.
I think people would feel technically better about where they're working and whom they're working with. I don't know. In my workplace, thank God, like nobody feels, it could be a detriment to the work that we do or it could be toxic in some way, but I think we all feel pretty much even and cool with each other. No one's trying to stab each other's backs and get a raise or a promotion over someone else. That the workplace politics don't happen in our workplace. I would call it a non-toxic environment, thankfully. And we all contribute to that. Yet somehow, especially in corporate, probably where you work, there is that aspect of toxicity that I think it's like
so efficacious in the corporate world where, you know, you really are paid like objectively speaking, you're paid on the performance and the job you can do. There's always going to be shenanigans in terms of paying them more, paying them less, but mm-hmm. there is a path that will take you from inception to through the entire job life cycle, and that's going to be efficacious for you, that you're going to take the, that's going to be very helpful and beneficial, that you're not going to find often in a Heimish Jewish company, which is tough because you need the off days, you have kids in yeshiva and stuff, but at the same
time,
there
are perks.
Right, so there are perks in both.
And the stereotype against frum women exists. I know from my mom. My mom has had over the years qualifications. She's an accountant. She worked in the corporate workplace when she was younger, but then she quit. And over the years, she would work in various accounting firms, which were usually suburban firms and local places, so she can have time for somebody else's kids, not me, but whatever. But she would have higher qualifications than many of her colleagues, and almost every time she would get passed up on for a promotion. And the assumption is, and I mean, you can never know, I don't know what biases are there, but the assumption was always that it was because she's from, she has to take more days off, she may have more kids, who knows. And that stereotype is prevalent in the community, and it really does detrimental things to from women, I think.
Well, that's what, well, we have a woman here who can tell us. Certainly, I've noticed, that's part of the political progressive side that I like, that companies feel obligated and mandated, because maybe they wouldn't have either, to promote females to those positions. Yeah, I remember when I was one of my Wall Street jobs was like, I was trying to sign a Jewish client, and like it was a frum firm, like it was Hasidim. It was so much fun working with them. And I remember this Chava girl, she was a Chava woman. We should have had her on, because everyone's like a managing partner title. Ooh. And she was like a senior associate. And you could tell, like, she was running the whole job. But because she had two discrimination things against her, like, obviously she was a woman, and at the time, because it was a little bit while back, but she was also single, and like probably in her late 30s. I don't know if she was divorced or she just never married. Chaya, give me a call. Where are you, Chaya? But like, anyway, yeah, basically I took notice, and then I think I just followed up like maybe a year or two later. And I noticed they made her a managing partner, and they like got very into, they made a diversity hire. They bumped up the game, so it was interesting. And so that was my workplace riddle story.
Are you on shidduch date burnout? Getting some anxiety, or just need someone to talk to about all those DMs and WhatsApps? Ahuva Shandelman is a licensed psychotherapist and the founder of Holy Shid. She treats clients with care, empathy, and a ton of shid. Ahuva can be reached anywhere, as she treats clients virtually and is also based in Rockland County for office hours. She can be contacted, if you're interested, via email, ahuvashandelman@gmail.com, or DM her on Insta, @holy_shid. IJ and Avery love her. You will too.
A great time to shout out your store, Michal.
Style and Trend, please shop it.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today's episode has been sponsored by Style and Trend out in Lakewood, New Jersey.
Right.
They have some of the most top women's fashion trends, styles. Get your tops, get your bottoms, get
IJ
your
gets
hats.
His tops, sir.
What else? Shoes.
No, accessories, beanies, we got jewelry.
Okay, they
all
sold,
the
they
fashionable
sold.
Instagram all the brands fashionable. That you
mention,
see on
nobody
brands.
Talks to them and get a discount.
Yes, exactly, 10%
off.
Mention, okay,
we
10.
Should do that for real.
10. Yeah. NTS10 for 10% off. That's NTS10.
Hashtag.
Tell Michal, Avery, IJ, and Tommy sent you.
Awesome.
I've had women supervisors in other nonprofits awesome. That I worked at, where after child number two, even child number three, weren't coming back. And they would send out an email prior to maternity leave that they're passing the baton on to somebody else.
So long, sucker.
Yeah. So you see that change in more of the from ventured corporations, nonprofits.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, it happens. They shouldn't say that this person is going to have more children. They're more likely to have more children. So let's not give them promotion because they may not have time for this job. I don't know. I don't know if I'm using anecdotal evidence.
Do you find that, Rachel? Is that something you see where, like, from CPAs, from accountants, I don't know if you're in tax audit or consulting. Yeah, I know. But like you, hello, you've seen it the most. Those are the girls that they go in, they do a great internship, associate, senior associate, they make manager, and they're like, bye-bye, married, gonna have babies, sayonara.
Good salary. So,
I mean, in my firm, I worked as an auditor, but I worked in a mid-sized firm, so I knew people in the tax department. Most of the from, there were a couple other from women. Most of them were like young and single. Most of the dudes were either
are you hiring?
Older men
are they hiring?
Who were partners. Probably. The accounting industry is always hiring.
So switch my
I no longer work there, but okay. I left public accounting
next time, buddy, next
7
time.
7 months ago. Yeah. But I even noticed it with the non Jews. Once they were a manager, once they had a couple kids, they would like switch to part time and be mostly taxed. It's very hard, I think, as an auditor, at least the pre COVID world. I know like my last like year and a half as an auditor, we were working remotely because of COVID, but it was hard for my female managers who had kids to come out to clients in the middle of nowhere where they would have to leave at 3 o'clock to go pick up their kids. And like some of my clients were in the city, some were, they would send me everywhere. So not like around the New York area, but it's hard if you have kids at home, like getting home at late and even just public accounting in general because of busy season. Like I was working till very, very late, working weekends. So I didn't have any real like from women who I knew who had kids in my firm, but even like the non-Jews. But I mean, I never, as a single woman, I never had a problem being promoted. Even at my job now, like they're very into having kids and being parents and things like that. So nobody doesn't get promoted because of their kids. I think unless their kids affect how they perform at work or their dedication. So
is there a pay raise with more kids?
Doubt not it. That I know of. I haven't seen it. I see the payroll.
Only in the from world.
Yeah, I think that's only in the from world.
Only working for Moishe's Tax and Consulting. Labor Day.
But like, do the women get a raise too for having more kids?
They better. Like, they better.
Is it just
have.
For the men?
I doubt it. It's probably just men.
It's usually
honestly.
Just the men. The women. They
yeah.
Go, now you can leave.
Now you can leave. The women get demoted.
You leave 12 o'clock on Friday.
Bullshit. It's also like my dad worked at a place for many years, a from place, from company, and after a number of years, the from owner of the company decided and woke up one day and decided his sons, let's call them Maishi, Shimi.
Shimmy.
Classic name.
Rookie decided Shlomo. That he's going to pull them out of Colel and stick them in managerial positions where they had absolutely no experience. They couldn't run a Mickey Mouse club. Like they had no idea what they were doing.
Oh, sounds like the place you work out now.
They couldn't order food on Grubhub. They had no clue. And everybody in the office like understood this and they realized it. And it's like a comedy. It's a sitcom to like watch these grown up children who have never accomplished anything in life in the workplace try and tell professional people who have careers and degrees and are established in their field to try and tell them what to do. And again, it goes back to like you were saying, give them raises because they're married. That's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's preposterous. It's the antithesis of what we're trying to do in the workplace. We're trying to treat people based off of their credentials and their amount of hard work and skill.
Well, that's
it's a
look,
comedy.
That's the
it's
American.
A
that's the American.
It's a joke.
That's the American Jewish perspective.
It is.
But on the Jewish perspective of it, that's what you do. A man gets married. Oh, now we give you. Remember, like when we're watching Game of Thrones. Oh, you're now a lord, and we shall give you provisions of the castle and the kingdom.
It's sick. I remember
BMG certification gives you $10,000 sign on.
I went to a kid.
Oh, and how do you
the BMG certification gives you $10,000 sign on bonus.
I went to a kiddish a couple years ago, a kiddish in my shul, and there was all the guys were there, kiddish club, and the caterer was handing out food to everybody, and they're all wearing talluses, and he sees me, this caterer, this Heimish guy from Borough Park, caters
my favorite
fish Heimish guy, was putting out all the food, and I go in there, I don't know, I guess I was like 22, 23 at the time, I don't know, and he's like, oh, no, this is only for married people can have this. No tallest, you can't come. So, of course, I quip right away. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm divorced. I just bullshit. But and everyone was cracking up. And he's like, all right, I just caught him off guard. He's like, okay, you can come to Kiddush Club.
You're tough like
people really discriminate against married people in our community.
I agree. Hello. I had to resign from several shuls because of this. Yeah. They right away, you walk in, they go.
You're not with your kids.
I come in, and I'm not with the kids, and they go, I don't have any kids. They go, marriage license. Marriage license. And then I gave them that, and then they wanted the COVID card. It was crazy. Crazy.
And that's when you pulled your membership.
Yeah, that's why I resigned in protest.
Well, that's why you started wearing a ring, so you could fit in, too.
That's
people
exactly
think
right.
He's married.
I put on a fake ring, because this way I can get into these Kiddush clubs that throw Avery out, because that's the kind of club I want to be at. Let's move on. I think a lot of this workplace shidduch conniving things, this starts very young. Like, think about it. I remember when I was in college, and literally I started like NCSY, JSU, the other one, Rage, I did, Kids of Courage, all of those good stuff. We can do an episode on that, doing all the extracurriculars, right? And think about it, like, you're there, you're an advisor, you're working, you're getting a check, you're getting paid, and they're female advisors. And you kind of, like, get into that shidduch connections. I mean, I think one of these organizations I was in, they actually had, like, someone who was, like, director of connections. Like, they wanted to, like, set people, advisors up or counselors up. It was adorable. So I felt like... It gets instilled in you very young. Like, I worked at the Sfarim sale, the YU Yeshiva University Sfarim sale. I did not go to YU.
Same here.
Well, maybe is that how we is that how we know each other? Right.
Oh, we know each other.
I don't know. So that's
I worked at the Sfarim sale.
Right. So Rachel, hello, back me up here with these guys. Like, they literally are like, you're here to get married. Are you here to sell books? Yes. Like, no, you're here to get married. You're here to find the girl.
No, everyone was there to socialize. Know?
Everyone was there. Yeah, I was
like, everyone was there
and
to
like
socialize,
miss class.
Get married.
No, and yeah. That was fun. That was fun. I mean, that's where it starts.
I know people who did get married who worked at the farm sale. One of my like farm sale crew members,
because
I had a crew. So she was on the board, and she ended up marrying one of the other guys who was on the board with her.
Yeah,
they had their second baby.
That happened to me also. What was her first name? Talia?
No.
Okay. Was his name IJ? Isaac? No, okay. Anyway.
No.
But like, that happens a lot. And also, like, it's also, I did want to say that while it's funny, actually, while I was in public accounting, like, there were times when it did work out. Things did work out. I remember we had a partner of the firm. Okay, it's a big position to be a partner. Better, cooler to be a partner in charge or a managing partner or a principal, whatever, but junior partner. And this guy, we'll call him London. His last name was London. And he actually worked with a group, a few from Jews. Partner gets like, what would you say, Rachel? Like probably 6 to 10 clients, right? I mean, seasonally, at least project-wise. So he would work with this group, and then actually at some point they announced their engagement. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know. No one tells me these things. They actually got, and they got married. They have kids now. It's all like, of course she quit like the next day. She didn't do it anymore. And he married a partner.
She doesn't need to work.
Yeah, she was right. She was like a senior manager. He was a senior manager. So that was good. It was kosher. Cause like it was kosher. It wasn't like he was a partner and she was like a first year associate. They had worked together for many years and like probably very close in age or whatever. If not, I was probably a age gap, but that, which is an episode we're going to do as well. Age gaps explored with Avery and IJ.
I'm not available that episode.
Where's the crying one?
Yeah.
Where's the crying one? Yeah. So that's true as well. That's true as well.
Yeah, so if people want to get their abortions at the workplace,
I'm kidding.
Around.
Do you hear this guy?
I just wanted to bring up something controversial.
Well, let me ask you, Avery, do you feel like you're missing out in life because you're working at a normal job? Because you don't really work for corporate, but you work for like a small
company.
Yeah.
Small business.
A startup. Say startup is a good word.
Startup. Techie,
it's not a startup. I mean, it's been in business for like 10 years. But it's like a small business owned by a cool guy. I met his boss, Rob is the man. But like, you feel like you're missing out on like not working in a place with Jews and not getting set up and talking. No?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
There's nothing.
Can we get a close up on this guy? And can you say
close
it again?
Up? Like, hold on one second.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
If a Jewish from person walked into my office, a Jewish girl, right, if she were to ever so gander in my office and say to me or get on the phone with me and say, can I date you with a British accent because, of course, she's British. Mm-mm. Can I date you? I would say, get out of my workplace. This is my zone.
You're fired.
Jordan.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, this is
Dañano.
So you have
Michael
very
Jordan
strong.
on a court. You can't mess. Don't wake the snake.
You have very don't strong mess. Boundary with dating in the workplace then.
Yeah, do
so
not.
That's a positive.
I don't touch women or men for that matter. Don't go near them. We are separated people. Outside of the workplace, anyone can do whatever they want. Feel free to date. But like inside, this is a sanctuary of some sort. And we are here for one thing. We have one main objective, to get the job done.
I love it.
And
love
don't.
It. So pragmatic at this point.
Yeah,
so
don't,
pragmatic.
Don't do it. I do not feel that it is right.
So it's just
an
abhorrent thing you would never do. This is like not. What if, let me ask you, what if tomorrow.
Yeah.
What if tomorrow Miss Frumi Schmeckelberg came to work at your office and just fell in love with you?
Well, we're getting married, obviously.
Oh, now he's into it. Yeah. I knew
that's
it.
That's when the boundaries get broken.
I knew it.
That is when
I'm sending her to your office tomorrow.
Well, I wouldn't buy her a ring right away. Probably wait a couple of days to see
if
she's real.
You could also buy her
a better desk
that works too.
A standing desk.
Look,
but
certainly, you want to make sure that there are no mistakes. You don't get in.
Look,
these blunders can cause problems. But at the same time, like I get it. Like we want to risk it.
Isaacs
and
Rachel.
You want to find somebody.
There is a spectrum, and I'm probably on the extreme end of one spectrum.
Well,
and I'm sure
right
you
now.
Seem like Rachel seemed to have a bit of more of a middle ground, like a compromise take on. She would go out with people, right?
I think it depends. Like in my scenarios, neither of the guys worked in my department. So like in my old firm, we had a policy. You could date, but even if you were in the same department, you can't work on clients together. There were married, engaged, dating couples in my department. They weren't allowed to be on clients together. Like jobs had to get moved around as soon as a new couple came about.
It's a great official. Free date working on a client.
Damn. Free day.
That's terrible. Oh, man.
You're clearly on a great path to being married. Clearly great path.
Yeah.
Great path.
You can imagine.
And so So as we get to the closing, we got a few more minutes left. Let me ask you here. Okay. JoJo, what do you do? And you alluded to this before. What do you do now when it doesn't work out?
I said put in your 4 weeks.
OSHA guru right there.
Put in your 4 weeks.
Maybe your 4 weeks.
It doesn't work out. So you try like dating your boss. You try dating your inferior, your superior, your lateral. Look at me. I'm so
And none
corp.
Of those work
so
out.
Corp.
You definitely put
so
in your 4 weeks.
Religious.
And then you take vacation. No. You really
right, first you take vacation and then you put in the 4 weeks.
Sure. That works too.
You pull a Boris Johnson.
No, you have to like you have to have that high EQ. Emotional intelligence is very important when it comes to stuff like that. Definitely knowing when and how not to butcher stuff that's going on. Work, like Avery, like you said, we're there for an objective. We're there to accomplish something first and foremost.
Yeah.
Those relationships that come about, those are secondary. But when you do spend 8 to 10 hours a day at work, where else do you meet people? So it definitely comes down to high emotional intelligence of how you can navigate such relationships that do or don't work out in the workplace.
Mm. And if they reject you, you fire them, obviously.
Well, that's always secondary.
Right, that's like that's the best secondary part.
Obviously. And then you take a vacation.
It doesn't work out. I got into some conversation with someone recently about like they went out with someone who worked for them and they then just fired them after it didn't work. Or maybe it was an episode of The Office. I don't know. There was something.
Didn't that happen with watching you, like on a podcast?
I feel like that's illegal.
Well, there's always
with who?
There's always promotions that come up.
Compadres.
Who?
Compatriots of sort.
Well, I went out with a lot of co-hosts on this podcast of the female gender.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to give the dish on our last episode. Everyone's going to get the dish, so don't worry.
What if
Avery's hosting that episode? I'm the guest.
What if she gets the promotion? What if he gets a promotion?
Right. What is she? And then she like comes after you, right? Like Rachel, you would like come after the guy. No, you would. You would like throw all the hard projects at him. Mm-hmm. You would give him bad. What would you do? No, you're too.
I don't know. You're so
cordial and pleasant. I don't.
I
think
feel
that would
like okay. Though. So listen, like I'm petty like the rest of them, but like at the end of the day, I also try to be professional and. I mean, even in my personal life, I live in a community where everyone dates everyone. So it's like, okay, like a guy I dated just moved in with one of my best friends. So like, now I have to see him all the time. I don't care. Like, it's over. It happened. Yeah, is it fun to torture him a little bit sometimes? Maybe. Mm. But like, you've got to be professional about it. If you don't make it awkward, then it's not awkward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Anything else us people want to get to? It's been some time, an hour and 10 almost. Avery, anything?
I am
anything.
Good.
Anything else from your specious your specious obloviations?
Who, me? I don't bloviate much. I flatulate. I don't bloviate.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
That's a good difficult model. I'm teasing you. Relax. He just got back from a bench.
Degraded this podcast. What? Is there such a thing as a good chiddle date? You're like
I'm Mr. Specious Bloviation.
Presumption that there is one. No, Rachel's story actually is very interesting, though. I appreciate your
Yeah, candor. We really enjoyed having you on. Let's get to the closing, and then we'll unless anything else you wanted to bring up, Rachel?
No, I think those were most of my stories.
Okay, we enjoyed them.
It's been fun to talk about. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, hold on just a moment. We'll get to our closing soon. Okay, we have episode 75 in the books, Workplace Shittle Stories. We're so happy that everyone joined us. Rachel Salutsky from the, which podcast was that?
Sticky Situations
podcast. Go follow her.
Sticky Situations.
And hopefully our thousands of listeners will flock over to you. Jojo, thanks for coming. Jojo, you gave us your, where can people find you?
I'm kind of private.
Oh, okay. Okay. So. Everyone we bring on is like private here. Okay. Like,
kind of private.
Guys, text me 609-222-4000. Slide into my DMs, whatevs.
Meet him in a cabin in upstate New York in the woods. At 9:32 p.m.
With my hunting stuff.
Yes, and my hunting stuff. Yes.
Yeah. A deer and a magnet.
And
flashlight.
And a shovel. Yes.
And a nice little e-cig.
But that.
Call it a night.
Well, yeah. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Yes. All right, people.
Which people?
People. Audience.
Color
the audience.
People?
The what audience. Or the audience. Or the audience. Or the audience. As they say, or they say in the Midwest. They say, audience. Audience. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out here. Anyway, this has been another episode of the Nobody Talks Shidduchim podcast. Happy face, smiley face, silly face. You know where to find us.
Oh, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Alchies Media Network.